Well, we are here to inquire of the Lord, to hear from God, for God to give us 20/20 vision. Lord, help us to pay attention to what you're saying to us this weekend. And I'm praying that the Lord will help me, he will help each one of us to look away from ourselves to his greatness this weekend. Because that's the secret to faith arising. Yeah. Oh boy, do we look at ourselves and we get our eyes on ourselves and our circumstances and so forth. But when we look away from that and we look at the greatness of God, at the sound of his great name, at the one who was and who is and is forevermore, it's like faith begins to arise within us.
Yeah.
I think probably most of us who are here, perhaps all of us, would call ourselves Christians. And if we say that we're Christians, you know, Christianity is not just a belief system. Yes, it is. That's part of it. But Christianity is a way of life. It is to encompass everything about us. It's not just what we do when we come away to the conference once a year, or when we go to church on Sunday, or we go to midweek Bible study or whatever. But I'm wondering, does the fact that we are women of faith, and this is the burden upon my heart, that I pray somehow will be delivered by the Spirit of God this weekend. The fact that you say you are a woman of faith, the fact that I say I'm a woman of faith, does that make my lifestyle any different than maybe the woman who lives just a couple doors down the street who worships Buddha? Or who says that she's an atheist? Is there any difference? Is there any difference in the lifestyle? Is there any difference in the behavior? Is there any difference in the confession of our mouth? And so I believe, yes, there should be a huge difference. Because God, I believe the heart of God is that women will arise in faith across this nation, across this world, and do great exploits for him. Do what God has put in his heart, in your heart, by faith, that he's calling you to do. Because I believe for every person that is in this room, God has a purpose and a destiny for your life. And yours, your destiny may be very different from that of the person sitting next to you, because each of you is intricately and uniquely made by God. But where is the world creeping into my life as a woman of faith? Because that happens. The world creeps in and begins to change us. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And I found an interesting verse here as I was preparing, as I've been meditating on this word for a few weeks now. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy," oh, the mercy of God, thank you, God, for your mercy, "according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And here's what jumped out at me. That word "kept," it's a military word. It means a sentry standing guard as a protection against the enemy. So we're in spiritual combat, but we are kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith. And God also, in the word in Philippians, says that his power and his peace are our sentinels, in Philippians 4, verse 6. And so this matter of faith is guarding us, sisters. When our faith is not in ourselves, it's not in how much faith we have, but our faith is in the Son of God, the living Son of God, then it is a keeping power in our lives. It is a protection. It's a sentinel. It's like, who's guarding you? Who's got your back? Well, it's the faith of the Son of God. So we are kept by this faith in the Son of God. That's what I saw this verse saying. Watchman Nee, in one of his books, refers to this scripture. He says, there's a condition attached to God's keeping power. We are guarded through faith. Unless we trust Him, He cannot guard us. So when stuff comes in our lives and we're wringing our hands, we're like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. What's going to happen to me? And we fail to trust Him, then it's like the bag goes down. We're not keeping our trust in the living God. If we harbor doubts about our security in the face of temptation, we are discrediting His ability to keep us. For it is not we who have to grapple with Satan's enticements. And that's the secret. Because our Savior grappled with Satan's enticements on the cross. And it is finished. And so when we are kept by the power of God, when our faith is in Jesus Christ, our back is covered. And He protects us. It's like every morning when we rise, we should say to Him, I thank You, Lord, for guarding me yesterday. I do not know what temptations may befall me today, nor how I shall overcome them, but I trust that You will see me through them. I've been taking care of some grandkids off and on through this week as John and Carol are in Israel. And so here they are at the breakfast table, and they're ready to put their spoon in and eat their yummy Cheerios and so forth. I'm like, let's pray. Let's pray. And so we stop for a minute and we pray. And we thank God that He's kept us through the night. We thank God for a new day, for health, for breath, for life, for sunshine. We thank God that we have food on our table to eat. We thank God that we are kept by our living God, that He's guarding our back. And part of faith arising in our lives, moms, is practicing this faith every day with our children. From the moment we wake up in the morning to the last big hug we give them at night. Instilling in them that this is a life of faith that we have and trust in our living God. And so faith arises in a very practical way when we take time to pray with our kids and our grandkids. That's just one of the many ways that faith will arise in our lives. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, one of the great chapters of faith in the Word of God. And this chapter starts out by saying that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? As you sit here tonight, what are you hoping for? You're hoping for a new car, or a new house, or money in the bank, or a better job, a husband. What are you hoping for? Or are we hoping to be conformed to the image of Christ, to know the power of Christ's resurrection, to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, to rest in the Lord and not get all stressed out, but to rest? Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, to rest in the Lord, to introduce our friends to Jesus Christ, to see God's kingdom. See, what we hope for tells us a lot about ourselves.
Right.
It's important where we place our hope. What is the scripture says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Our faith in this living Son of God who gave His life for us, who guides our back,
who poured out his life blood for us, that is the substance of our faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, there are lots of definitions of faith. In the New Testament, faith is the divinely implanted principle of inward confidence, assurance, trust, and reliance in God. You probably all have heard the acrostic for faith. Faith, F, forsaking, A, all, I, T, trust, H, him. Forsaking all, I trust him. That means we're not placing our faith in other things, but we're choosing to place our trust in him. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we could place our faith in that are not a solid foundation, such as a bank account, or how clean and organized my home is, or how many chapters in the Bible I read today, or how many hours I spent in prayer, or how many people I shared the gospel with. People place faith in all of these things, but it's less than placing our faith in the living Son of God. As I was preparing this, my thoughts went back to an old Baptist hymn that we used to sing. And I went and got my hymn book and looked it up. And the hymn writer who wrote this with a Norwegian melody, he said, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed." See, it's not just a system of belief. It's more than that. It's beyond that. It's a reality in the depths of our being. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. Do you believe that? No matter what has happened in your life or what will happen, he will never cast you out when we come to him. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. And then the chorus goes, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. He died for me. He died for you. It is enough. That is the one. That is the fact. That is what guards our back. It's faith in the living God. Has our faith, has your faith found a resting place? Like this hymn writer? I pray that by the time we get in our cars and load up our suitcase on Sunday, that every one of us, in a new and fresh way, our faith will have found a resting place in the only true and sure foundation, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that it will make a difference in our lives. Well, some aspects of faith, and I just want to go over two or three things quickly, and then we want to look at a couple things that Jesus said about faith. You know, faith has an aspect of it that is offensive, an offensive action. You know, with the football teams, there's the defense team and there's the offense team. So what is our offensive? When someone asks us how we're doing, our response reveals where our faith level is and our faith mentality. You know, when somebody asks us, oh, I'm just surviving. I'm surviving today. Or we could say, I'm ruling and reigning with Christ. My faith has found a resting place. Or we could say, I'm getting by. I'm just getting by today. Or we could say, I believe my God will do exceedingly abundantly above all I ask and think today. And I'm going to stand on that because the Word of God says that.
Well, I could say I'm just coping with the devil today. Just coping with him. Or we could say I'm resisting the devil because the Word says when we resist him, he will flee from us. He will flee from us. To flee means to run in terror. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give place to the devil. Satan's goal, sisters, is to separate us from our faith. And some of you may have arrived here tonight with some of that separation having taken place in your life. That's okay. Thank God you're here. You defeated the devil in getting your body here tonight. And you have put yourself in a place where something can happen about you getting connected with faith again in your life. So Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, but it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so that is our life. That is our life. We're crucified with Christ. Now what about the substance of our faith? You know, I think it's interesting. Jesus speaks of three measures of faith in the gospel. He speaks of faith as a grain of mustard seed. And so I went to John and tried again and checked out I thought I had some of this at home, but I didn't. So I got some mustard seed. And I actually wanted to put one of these on the page of every one of your books, but I thought that would be too much for the preparers of the books. So but what I'm going to do is pass this around, and I don't care if you open it and take out a grain of mustard seed, because I want you to know that our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ said, if you have faith as one of those, and you will see those grains of mustard seed are pretty small. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed and believe in your heart that you can say, mountain be removed, and it shall be removed. It shall be removed. And so, are those mustard seeds very big? They're not very big. So you're like, oh, I don't know. Oh, I wish I had faith. I wish I had as much faith as she had. Well, Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that you can do mighty things for him. And Jesus also talks about much faith, and then he talks about great faith. And we're going to get into that a little bit more. But what these measures, these measurement words that Jesus uses tells me is that our faith can grow. And if we're sitting here tonight, and you know, sometimes I find myself in this place. Do you remember in the New Testament when the man who had the son that threw himself into the fire and threw himself into the water, and so Jesus appealed to him that if he would believe that this son could be healed. Do you remember what the man's response was to him? And this has just helped me so many times, because he said to Jesus, Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. And I'll be honest with you, sisters, I'm there many times. And I'll say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief at this moment. And it's okay. It's okay to be in that place, because then when we're calling out to Jesus, he will build our faith, he will increase our faith, and the unbelief will be replaced with belief. In Hebrews 11:6, the same chapter where you are, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that is, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we want to please God? Let's have faith in him. Let's have faith that let's let the words of our mouth be a positive confession of who He is, and that we believe in Him. We're not just coping, or we're not just dealing with circumstances, and we're stressed out and so forth, but that we are walking by faith in the reality of Jesus' provision for us. Faith makes us an overcomer. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even your faith. Faith is based on the knowledge of God and His character. That's one thing that I think is very much on my heart I want to get across. It's not our being religious, sisters. That's not what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Our being religious. But it's our having a personal relationship and a faith that is based upon this word. And so if our thoughts one day, as we're driving to work, or we're vacuuming up the house, or we're doing the dishes, or we're folding the laundry, if our thoughts are like they're not lining up with this word, then, you know, it's a good thing maybe to grab the Bible and get it out and say, okay, what does God say about that? What is the Word of God? Or maybe put that tape of scriptures, the CD in the car, and listen to it as we're traveling, so that we're being built up in the Word of God, because the Word is alive, and it will increase our faith. Our faith is to be based on His Word and His character. And one of the things that will help us to grow is our obedience in faith. What happens when God tells you to do something? You know, it seems like I'm hit with this often, you know. I don't know about you, but, you know. Not very long ago, I had a little bit of an attitude developing in me. I'm sure you never get this. For another sister in the Lord, you know, something that had happened, I'm like, why did she do that? I'm like, I don't like that. And then I immediately, it was like the next thought, the Spirit was convicting me. I was like, okay, I have a choice right now.
Amen.
To be ticked off and to sport an attitude, or to say, God, You love her so much. Lord, you know what? You know, one of my favorite songs at that time is, and I sing this quite a bit, change my heart, oh God, make it ever new.
Right.
Change my heart, oh God, may I be like You. And so I just started singing that. And I sang it until I felt that God was indeed changing my heart. But that's living by faith in the Son of God. Rather than go and get myself all messed up with a bad attitude that was already starting to fester in me, and so forth, because I realized that Jesus died on the cross to set me free of that kind of, really, it's pettiness, sisters. When we think of what God wants us to do and His purpose and destiny in our lives, if the devil can get us sidetracked into those little attitudes that we want to just let fester in our lives, then we're not going to be doing what He has called us to do for His purposes. And then again, we're not, you know, if we're working beside a co-worker and we are not shown an example of the life of Christ, how is that impacting? So I live by the faith of the Son of God. So also, the victory is already ours. This is part of the substance, and it's already ours because of what Jesus did on the cross. And faith brings answers to our prayers. Faith-filled prayers. Know that God hears our prayers, that in accord with His will, Jesus said when you pray in Matthew 11:23, believe that you receive and you will have them. If we believe this verse, we will act on it. That means we're not praying, oh God, I don't know, Lord, could you just possibly work this out, Lord God? And no. We're believing, we're giving the promise,
all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. And we're standing on that. We're standing on the promise that says, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and give you a future and hope. If you will turn to me and seek me with all of your heart, the Lord says, you will find me. And to stand on those promises. Well, faith also leads us into the good side of faith, because there are enemies of our faith. And a big enemy is our ignorance of the Word of God. In Hosea 4, chapter 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject you. You know, some of us have gotten flu shots as well. I haven't got one yet, but I know some of my friends have. And when we get a flu shot, we're inoculated against the flu. There's a little bit of the flu that's put in our system, and we build up the antibodies. I'm not a nurse, so I don't understand that. And hopefully that keeps us from getting the flu, and our bodies are fighting it off. But that's what religion is in contrast to faith. Religion is like being inoculated against the real thing. We're like, oh, well, I have to act religious. I have to be spiritual now. It's a living, dynamic faith in the living God that affects every decision we make every day. It affects our attitude. It should affect what we eat. It should affect how we sleep. It should affect what we listen to. It should affect how we read the Word. It should affect what we spend our time doing. All of this is important. So when Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, I wonder, how often do we get into the Word? But sometimes it's difficult. I know when my husband was in the hospital about 3 or 4 weeks ago, it seemed like my days were just... is there some water? Thank you. My days were filled with going to work and going to the hospital and then sitting with him and praying with him and then coming back home, crashing, going to bed, and another day like that. And, you know, I'm like, and at times I would open the Bible for a little bit and then I would fall asleep and crawl into bed and just do the same thing the next day. And we were really, you know, praying for Thurlow because he was getting weary of the attack that was coming against him. And I know many of you are praying for him, and I really appreciate your prayers, because he actually is ministering up in New York State at a conference this weekend. And so he's doing much better. So I'm not saying that that we should be under condemnation, but on a regular day and a regular week, we should be opening the Word of God, because that is where we will grow in faith as we read the Word and make it practical. The Pharisees, Jesus talked in Luke 18:10 about, you know, when the Pharisee and the tax collector were praying, and he compared the two of them. And the Pharisee was like, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like that other person, da-da-da-da-da, and so forth. And, you know, but he was behaving religiously. He was being inoculated against the real thing. And this tax collector, which everybody hated the tax collectors, is probably not too much different today. But he went over in the corner, penitent, and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he had humility. Humility comes from the word humus, which speaks of a good soil heart. It speaks that we're working up the soil of our heart so the seed of the Word of God can come into our heart and take root and bear for fruit for us. Well, I'd like us to turn now to we're in Hebrews, so we want to look at some of these names that are here in Hebrews chapter 11. Because genuine faith is very practical. And this chapter 11 of Hebrews speaks about men and women who moved in faith, and very practically, God did wondrous things through them. And as I've mentioned already, genuine faith leads us to look away from ourselves to the greatness of God. But there's another aspect to faith, and this is one that sometimes I don't always appreciate, but sooner or later in our lives, God will bring us to something that's beyond our control. And what are we going to do when those times happen? And this is the time for faith arising. And in Hebrews chapter 11, if you put your finger maybe on verse 11, it says, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so here we see Sarah. She faced barrenness. This was beyond her control. She looked away from her barrenness to the greatness of God and conceived Isaac. And God judged her faithful. She walked in faith. Now, of course, we know there's more to the story. You know, there's the time when she said, Abraham, here, just let's make this happen by Hagar. And she probably wasn't walking in faith at that time. And so often we can be like that. Let's hurry this up. God doesn't see me working, so let's see how we can help God to make it happen. And generally when we do that, it just makes problems worse. But Sarah is mentioned here as a woman of faith. Let's put our finger now on verse 23. And it says of Moses' parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. And so here Moses' mother faced her infant son being killed. Again, something beyond her control. God bringing us into things in our life that are beyond our control. We can't do anything about. But here we are in the midst of it. That's where Moses' mother was. She looked away from that danger to the greatness of God, and she made that little basket. And she put Moses in the basket. That was her action of faith. Generally, when we are put into that situation or circumstances, the situation is beyond our control. If we wait on God, as we wait upon God, God will give us revelation of what to do. The problem for me many times is I don't wait. I want to rush because we women, we like to fix things. We like to make sure, you know, that things are done and we want them done in order and so forth. And God has a different timetable from what we have many times. And then we look at Rahab. If you look at verse 31 in the same chapter, and we see that Rahab faced the armies of Israel marching around Jericho. Her safety was beyond her control, but she looked away from the impending destruction to the greatness of God, and she hung out that scarlet cord, and she was rescued, and rescued to the fact that her name is included in the New Testament in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. By faith, Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. And then I think, too, of the young widow Ruth. From the book of Ruth, we know that she faced a situation beyond her control. She'd lost her husband. Her mother-in-law was going back to Bethlehem. And she turned away from the tragedy of her barren life, even from her nation of birth, and said, you know what? I'm going back with you to the place of bread, to Bethlehem. And she met Boaz, and she became the great-grandmother of King David. Again, faith leading to action. And also Esther. You know, we know these stories so well, but you know what I think? You know, sometimes we put these women way up on a pedestal, and maybe they should be. You know, they're listed there, many of them in the Hall of Fame of Hebrews chapter 11. But I tend to think that these women on a day-to-day basis as they were living were just like you and me.
Yeah.
And that day came, that point came, where God put faith in their heart and they had a choice. Would they do that thing in faith that God was leading them to do? We think of Sarah, you know. And here's the visitors to Abraham, and they say, your wife is going to have a baby. And she's like, you know, I'm way beyond the age of childbearing. But you know what? She had the baby. And she named him Isaac for laughter, because she knew she had laughed. But God put faith in her heart. Or Moses' mother, Jochebed, when she realized the king was killing all the boy babies. But God put faith in her heart, and she made that basket. And Moses became the great deliverer of Israel. But what I'm trying to say is, on a day-to-day basis, I think these women were just like you and me.
Amen.
And the point the crisis came in their life, the situation that was beyond their control came in their life, and they heard from God, they waited on God, they heard from God, God gave them a plan, and they chose to walk it out and not live in the negativity of the situation or just, you know, I think of what about all the other Hebrew mothers whose babies were being killed too. Maybe others of them made baskets. We don't know. But we do know from Moses' mother what she chose to do in faith. And the same is possible for each one of us. Recently, well, let me just ask you, are any of you here tonight and you're facing a situation that seems to be beyond your control? Probably for many of us, that could be true. My husband and I are facing a situation right now that's beyond our control. It just happened this week as I was preparing this a little bit before this week. I was thinking, oh, you know, things are pretty good right now. Phil was out of the hospital and so forth. And then this week, oh! It's like, and we have this situation that's out of, beyond our control. And you know what? Oh, I want to fix it. And I was, and it was like, my mind was going crazy trying to figure out how to fix this. Mm-hmm. And I was driving my husband crazy too, because I thought, well, he should be able to fix it. And neither of us can fix it. It is beyond our control. And it's something where we have got to just place it in the hands of the Lord and see what He's going to do. But I will confess, it hasn't been easy. But God, sooner or later, will probably do that with each one of us. And we have a choice at that point. So you know, as my mind is going crazy, I'm like, okay, all right, Linda, woman of faith, you know. What does God, what do you have here? And slowly, because I'm just comprehending this with this situation, I'm realizing God has set before me a fresh opportunity for faith to arise in my life and for me to trust Him. Just like Sarah and Rahab and Jochebed and Esther and Ruth and so many others through the years. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5. And this is the story in the life of Jesus and a very special woman that I want to close with tonight, because I think it so beautifully illustrates faith arising. It says in Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 25, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment, for she said, if only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging around you, Jesus, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your afflictions." I love this story. It's interesting, as I was meditating and asking God about scriptures to share at the conference, I was actually standing in a reading class in the public school, in a sixth grade reading class, and the kids were reading, and so everybody was doing their thing, and I'm like, "Okay, Lord, what scriptures do you want me to read and to share relating to a rising faith?" And just like that, the Lord opened up this whole story to me as I was standing there in the midst of these 6th and 7th and 8th grade students who are learning to read in 6th and 7th and 8th grade. And I didn't have a Bible or anything, but I was, as soon as I had lunch hour, I just started writing down as fast as I could. And these are just some of the things that the Lord revealed to me. The first thing I see here is that Jesus is available. And I want us to know that tonight, sisters. Jesus is available. Jesus was available for that woman with the issue of blood. And he is available tonight for each and every one of us. The greatness, the power of the Savior is available when we face something beyond our control. But the second thing I see here is that the crowds press in. The crowds are always pressing in. And the crowds will try to press us away from the Savior. The crowds is stuff in our life, making it difficult to get to Jesus. For each of us, the crowds may be different. Might be games on the internet. It might be bills that we have to pay. It's all of those things out there that crowd in and press us and keep us from turning to Jesus, keep us from putting our eyes on Jesus. And then there will be the friends that will be like, "Oh, well, Jesus, everybody's touching you. You know, everybody's pressing you." There will be well-meaning friends that will say, "Well, this is just beyond your control. You might as well da-da-da-da-da." And they have all kinds of advice for us. But I like this account is also in Matthew and Luke. And in Matthew it says, "And suddenly a woman..." There was a suddenly in this woman's life. And as she heard that Jesus was coming along the road where she could get to, there was a suddenly in her life. I pray that there will be suddenlies in every one of our lives, even this weekend, even tonight, yes, when we realize we can get to Jesus. There's a suddenly in his life. I don't have to be like this anymore. I don't have to remain like this anymore. Jesus is coming suddenly. There's a suddenly in our lives. Now, this woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. I cannot imagine how difficult that was. And the scriptures say her situation was beyond her control. She was alone. She was trying to survive. And it says her resources were depleted. That means she had gone to many physicians and spent all of her money. But the The doctor's bills kept coming in and there was no more money. There was no more money. Her resources were gone. But it says that in the midst of that, in her desperateness, when she heard about Jesus, look at verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, and also in the Matthew 9 account, it says, she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. She talked to herself in the midst of her situation that was beyond her control. I like that psalm. I often return to it where David says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. It's good to talk to our soul. And she spoke to herself and she said, if only I may get to the hem of his garment, to touch his garment. She looked beyond her big need to the greatness of God. And what did she do? She didn't try to get in front of Jesus, but she just came around behind him. And she just touched the hem of his garment. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of the detail, but I know especially on our Messianic friends who are here, we know that in the garment, the blue tassel was sewn into the garment. And in Numbers 15, verses 38 through 40, the Lord led Moses to write, when you put the blue thread in, when you look upon that thread, you remember all the commandments of the Lord and you do them. So her, by faith, touching that hem with the blue thread in it, it was the word of God, it was the commandment, it was all the promises of God. That's what that blue thread stood for. And so she was bringing her measure of faith. Now, whether it was a mustard seed or much faith or great faith, but she brought her measure of faith to that when she touched the hem of his garment. And we know what happened there. Touching him, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed. The woman experienced the authentic power of God. That power is real today. It is available for us here this weekend. It's available for us tonight. And Jesus knew that power had flown out of him. There was not any mistaking in his being. He said, "Who touched me?" Now this woman, because of the issue of blood, was considered unclean. And so for her to come out and walk amongst all of this throng of people, if others knew of her condition that were around her, they could be shouting, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." But she pressed through all of that, all of the circumstances, to touch the hem. And all of that crowding on the outside, to be bold in her belief. And it was an individual action. And that's one thing that the Lord spoke to me, is that he's going to be calling us to individual action as well as some corporate action this weekend.
Yes.
Because, it says that when Jesus looked around to see who had done this, that the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened, because she knows, if you've had an issue of blood for 12 years and it's stopped, you know it, it's done. And she came, she knew what had happened, and she fell at Jesus' feet but the scripture says she told him the whole truth. That is the key to our faith arising, sisters. Telling the truth about what's going on in our lives. Whatever it may be. It may be abuse. It may be disease. It may be doubt. It may be whatever it is, the issue that is in your life. It may be bitterness. It may be unforgiveness. Whatever it is. But Jesus is calling us to come before him and tell him the whole truth. Because you know what? He knows already.
That's right.
But somehow, until we confess it, and confess simply means name it, agree with God about what it is. If we confess our sin, that we agree with God, it's sin. Mm-hmm. And we tell him the truth. And that's what this woman did. And Jesus' response is so beautiful. He says, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." You know, he saw her faith. And whether it was a mustard seed or much faith or great faith, but he said, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed." He spoke the shalom of God over her whole being. I can just imagine, you know, it's the way the word Jesus just impacts me. There's something about that name, Master, Savior. But when Jesus said, "Go in peace, shalom," when he spoke the shalom of God, I just think a peace came into this woman's life that she had never experienced before in her life. And so we can have a courageous faith like this woman. And I believe, and we're going to be closing in just a few minutes, that the Lord would say to us tonight that there are crowds. There are crowds. Even as we sit here tonight, there are crowds in our life that are pressing us to keep us from Jesus. What are the crowds? Games, hobbies, work, bills. There will always be crowds to distract us. And there will be those who say, "Well, everybody's pushing him around. It's no big deal." And so there's the crowds. I see them as the things outside us, but there's the issues inside us. Unforgiveness. Maybe we feel like God hasn't answered our prayers and we get an attitude toward God. Sickness. Maybe there's a crime. Maybe there's a secret relationship through the internet or whatever. Molestation. A sense of giving up. Self-condemnation. All of these are issues within us. We get ticked off by God. We get our eyes on ourselves and our problems. And we forget about the greatness of God and His provision. And you know, when my husband was hospitalized and I realized that his situation was beyond our control, and he was in there more days because he was running a fever and they couldn't figure out what the cause of the fever was, and so they wouldn't do any procedures or whatever. And so thank God one of my sons called me. He's like, "Can I help?" And he came over. You know, it's so good when somebody else comes alongside. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
It is so good. And sometimes, you know, and many of you have that ministry of coming alongside. And he's like, "I'm coming over. I'm coming over on my lunch hour. And let's set up a meeting with the doctor and see what's going on." This was after he's in there 4 or 5 days and nothing seemed to be happening. And sure enough, he did. And I was so grateful. It was like, two can put the enemy to flight. And, you know, we talked with the doctors, and, you know, the day after that, everything broke. There was no more fever. There was action. The procedures that my husband needed to have taken care of were done. And faith was arising. You know, it was amazing, the breakthrough. But with the eyes of faith, I see faith arising in our congregations, in our homes, in our marriages, with our children, in our neighborhoods, in our places of work, in our school classes. You know, sometimes we pray for the friends of our children and their relationships. And one thing the Lord has shown me in that is, because sometimes maybe we don't like their friends or their relationships. And I find that the Lord will either say, He will either change the friend's heart or the child's heart, or He'll change my heart. And that He will work in those relationships. And so I encourage you, if there are those kinds of stresses that are maybe not your personal stresses, but they're the stresses of someone in your family, God, when we touch the hem of his garment, he can work on behalf of those situations too. And you can pray and intercede and see breakthroughs where you think again that the situation is beyond your control. Yes, it is, but it's not beyond God's control. And so I would like to invite the worship team to come up. And as we close, I would like us to be in an attitude of heart searching before the Lord tonight as to where we are, like this woman with the issue of blood. Maybe you're here and there are no issues, and you're just fine. And if that is true for you right now, then I would encourage you to pray for those who may be struggling with the crowds that are pressing into them and the issues in their life, that you would pray for those who are struggling. But perhaps you are here and there are some issues that just seem beyond your control in your life. I know there are in mine right now. And so God is here in our midst. We brought him in when we came, yes, because we are the temple of the living God. He is here. He is not far away. He is not a God that we have to beat ourselves and yell way out loud to get him to come and minister. He is here in our midst, and he is passing by us. And tonight, by faith, we can reach out and touch the hem of his garment, whatever the issue is in your life, whether it's an issue of blood for 12 years or whatever it is, and unforgiveness, a hidden shame maybe over molestation or abuse, or maybe an attitude toward God for something that's happened when you just been like, you know, you've made your statements before God, you know, God, you know, I just don't see how you could have ever let that happen in my life. And we camp out at that. Our God is a good God. And he loves us so very much. He loves each one of us so very much. And as we worship, as we sing together, what song are we singing? We're going to sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I would just like you in the seat, in your own seat where you are, you may want to get down on your knees before the Lord. That woman, when Jesus said, Who touched me? She came in fear and trembling, and she told the whole truth before the Lord. You know, one thing I sense the Lord saying, you know, why wait till Saturday night or Sunday morning to deal with the issues that we walk through that door with tonight? We can tonight touch the hem of his garment and then be open and free through the whole weekend to receive everything that God has for us throughout this weekend. And so as we sing this song together of Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, I would like each one of you to make your chair an altar before the Lord and to just picture Jesus passing by you. And that there are crowds, yes, you may be thinking about a lot of other things. Oh, I got to get out of here and make that phone call and see if my kids are okay tonight and see if they didn't bring the house down while we were sitting here in the meeting or whatever. Yeah, the crowds are pressing out there. But don't let the crowds press Jesus away from you. That woman had a suddenly. She said, and suddenly. And she pressed through the crowds. And she touched the hem. And the issue that was within her that drove her to Jesus was healed immediately. Our issues tonight can be healed in the name of Jesus. We don't have to go on anymore with them. So let's stand as we begin to sing, and then whatever as the Lord is leading you to, perhaps, as I said, kneel, as we acknowledge our Lord Jesus, to turn our eyes on him, to look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Whatever that is that God has put in your life that is beyond your control, we can't fix it. We can go crazy trying to fix it. For a few hours this week, I felt that way in my mind. And then it's like, this isn't working. I've just got to surrender it to God.